Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney here. Do a little hoops coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thursday around the country. A lot of NFL. The first hour, squeeze the little Yankees, Astros in hour number two. Very interesting interview. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach at App State. He was terrific. He really was fun. You could tell he's got that program going in the right direction. If you missed it, or if you're an App State fan and you heard it and you want to pass it along to one of your buddies, find all our podcasts, all of our content. Just go to radio.com and the radio.com app plus cbssportsradio.com or just about anywhere you can get a podcast. Download, subscribe today for free. The Phil Simms stuff was amazing quarterback content with Baker, with Darnold. He hit them all. Really got into Patty Mahomes' situation, mm-hmm. as you and I did as well to start the show. I think we have to squeeze in some basketball here because I think what happened with Bradley Beal getting the two-year extension is a very, very big deal for a lot of reasons. And I don't know if people are also, if everybody's seeing the reasons yet.
Do you think that you know, there was that much clamoring for him?
No question.
Yeah.
No doubt.
How come that didn't happen then?
I think he wanted to stay. I think that's part of it. And
that,
I think
that was one. Yeah. And two, what would the Wizards be without him?
They'd be a disaster without him.
Without him, because John Wall is missing probably the entire 2019-2020 season. I'm gonna say he is.
Uh-huh.
Likely missed the whole season. So without Bradley Beal,
yeah,
you're just, why go?
You're directionless.
You know? Right. And so they had to do it. They had to get it done.
Well, yeah.
And they've been trying for a while.
That was his first order of business. Convince Bradley Beal that our vision is going to be adjusted and met and finally, you know, put us in a direction for some success here. I mean, the Wizards have been. They had that little flirtation a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. when they were really popping. And they just, you know, for a multitude of reasons, they just don't get it right. And they're mission number one, two, and three, we got to keep this kid here. Because without John Wall, you know, he's been empowered. He has become a much better player. From mm-hmm. when he first came into the league, he was a shooter.
Yep.
He's become a much better playmaker, a much better defender, a much better leader. I love Bradley Beal. And here's the other thing that it really changes. You see, you have the Wizards aspect. But now the 2020 NBA free agent crop is horrendous. I know you did a sports minute on this, but some of the early highlights with Anthony Davis and LeBron, and he's not going to leave Lakerville anytime soon. They're meshing really well.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so Anthony Davis, who is technically a free agent, he's not going to be on the open market, I don't think. So you talk about names like Draymond Green, who's probably much more valuable to the Warriors than anywhere else. Mike Conley, who's I like, but he's in his 30s. He's a point guard. Andre Drummond, who is statistically very good in terms of rebounding and defensive mm-hmm. Stats, but can't shoot free throws.
Yeah, I was going to say, modern NBA, what's he doing for you?
Yeah. Gordon Hayward, do you want DeMar DeRozan? Yeah, that was actually, no, did he sign that? I know did he ever sign the deal with the Spurs? I know he had the offer.
That's a good, I don't remember hearing it.
Did he actually put pen to paper? Eric Gordon from the Rockets is one of the marquee free agents for 2020. So, I think there were a lot of teams. I think the Lakers were one. I mm-hmm. think the Knicks were another. And there's probably four or five others that looked at Bradley Beal as, you know, through a trade as really their free agent target. And this changes a lot in the NBA.
Yeah,
this kid is good.
He had 2 years left on his contract. So this extension keeps him there at least through 2022.
He's not a free agent for at least 3 years.
Exactly, 3 years. And then he can opt out. Mm-hmm. If he does not opt out, then he'll be eligible for, as is always the case with the next guy who signs a contract, the largest max contract in history at 5 years, $226 million. If he leaves, free agency will be 4 years, $198 million. So, I mean, it's a good number for him to want to stay in Washington. And again, you said this. I think he wanted to stay in Washington. He must buy into their vision. Mm-hmm. The thing that you worry about, at least in the short term, is that John Wall, who is out for the entire season, has not even kicked in his extension yet. That doesn't start for another season. Maybe problem. Maybe even two, actually.
I'm looking it up.
Another season, at least another season, maybe two seasons from now. And in a couple of years, they're going to owe their backcourt like $78 million, which is crazy.
You better hope that China incident didn't take a hit to the cap.
Yeah, I mean,
it probably will.
Maybe that was one of the reasons that he signed this deal now instead of waiting.
I don't think
it's just a Snapter speculated that. I don't think that's the case either. I think he wanted to be in Washington, and I think he now sees, like, he's 26 years old, and a new GM comes in and says, dude, this is your team.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to build this around you. We're going to find your strengths. We're going to put, you know, the right people around you. It may take a couple of years, but you are the guy. You are our guy. That feels good, man. That's empowering. That's just like, all right, great. Like, this is my squad. I don't have to go search for a championship with someone else. You know, maybe I won't get one, but this is about me. And that probably felt really good to him.
Yeah, I mean, the point about Wall here, so Wall is going to make 38.1 this year. He's probably not going to play a second, as you said. Next year is when it really kicks in. He's going to make 41.2. Oh, my God. Yeah. Then he's going to make 44.3. And then, and this has to be a player option, not a team option. Then he's got a player option for four seasons from now at $47.3 million.
And how do you turn that down?
He's not going to turn it down.
Of course he's not.
He's going to be in his 30s with a repaired Achilles at a speed position. There's no way he turns that down. So, you know, I'm not sure how much Bradley Beal is going to win right now, but I do think situations like this are good for the NBA because it does reinforce the notion that, you know, not everybody's looking to jump. Not everybody's looking to bail.
Yeah, and Damian Lillard, right?
Damian Lillard certainly fits that. Yeah, for sure. Not everybody's looking to bail and, join up with a few guys and create a power team and try to circumvent that organic building process. I respect that.
Yeah.
I really respect. Now, I'd respect it a lot more if he was knocking down jump shots at the Garden for my Knicks, and I actually thought we had a chance to get him. I know the Knicks loved him. But this is, in terms of, you know, just the overview of the NBA, this is a good day for the NBA. It's a great day for Wizards fans. And it's a bad day for a lot of teams who thought they could chase him this summer. This season.
Yeah.
Now, let's face it. The Wizards, Mike, what is the Wizards' projected win total? Can you pop that up real quick? I mean, it's got to be in the high 20s to, what do you think, 28 to 32 off the top of my head? Something like that?
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to be much more than that. There's no way. That'll be a playoff team. I mean, they're going to take some lumps. What is Vegas' projected win total for the Wiz?
This is according to Odd Shark. I have it at 26.5.
Oh, even lower than I thought. I said 28 to 32, 26.5, same neighborhood. They're going to be bad. And I think what a lot of teams were hoping for, you know, once you start 8-19, as they probably will, or 11-30, whatever it might be, you pounce before February and you put an enticing offer on the table and you get a hell of a player.
Yeah.
In his prime, just entering his prime.
Yeah.
Can't happen now.
You're right, because obviously with this type of deal, he can't be traded for 6 months. And so it basically ensures that he's here. So they're not gonna trade him. It feels like what was a long process has worked itself out. The only issue that I have, BT, is I'm looking at their roster right now, and you know, Ish Smith is their point guard, and CJ Miles, who's hurt right now, is their small forward, and Hachimura,
they drafted him from Gazaga.
He's a good player.
He's important. He's got to be good for them.
He better be good. But that's my point. They're going to be bad. And they've told Bradley Beal, by the nature of this extension and what can come after this extension, which is the Supermax, not the Supermax, but the Max, if he should make All-NBA, it could be a Supermax. They got to draft well around him. It's one thing to say, you're our guy, we're going to build around you, but do we trust this new administration to get it right? And
I didn't trust the old administration, which was there far too long. I'll give the new administration a real chance to show what they're all about.
I'm not going to say no. That's the one thing you worry about if you're Bradley Beal.
I think about the Warriors before Bob Myers took over.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes it just takes one new mind, one new thought, one new avenue of attack to radically change the course of history. I mean, and, you know, Bob Myers, a former agent, you know, he takes over the GM role and, you know, they draft Draymond, they draft Curry, they draft Clay, they make some interesting moves. Boom, we have a dynasty. I'm not going to forecast a dynasty for the Wizards, but I'd feel pretty comfortable saying that he can't be worse than the last regime.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, really? I referenced it before. What were they year by year? I mean, the Wizards, there were a couple of years where I really thought, I'm like, you know what? I think the Wizards can get to the conference championship and maybe make a move to get to the NBA Finals. That's a tough franchise. That is a franchise that, I mean, I know my team has it bad, but the Wizards just don't really matter much, and they really haven't mattered much. Let me see here. 19-63 in 2008. 26 wins the next year, then 23, then 20, then 29. All right. Then they bumped up, and then John Wall's a piece of the puzzle at this point. 44 wins, 46. Then they go down to 41-41. Then they top out. This was the year that I referenced. They lost in the Eastern Conference semis. They were 49-33. And then 2 years ago, they win six fewer games. And then last year, they go 32-50 in large part because of John Wall's injury. So they needed to hit reset, and the determination needed to be made. And I think it's an accurate one. Can you build around Bradley Beal if you do the other aspects right and insulate him properly? Can he be a superstar? And not everybody agrees with me, but I think my answer is yes.
Is he a good enough shooter?
He's a great enough shooter. I'm not worried about him shooting the ball.
Then you're fine.
I'm not worried about him shooting at all. I wish he was an inch or two taller. I think he's only 6'3", but you know, he's definitely added real functional strength. You see his body, and it's changed. He's strong. He's tough. And as I said, you know, he's really grown. And this was without Wall. It was by necessity as a playmaker and as a leader. So. And they get to keep a really, really good player. All right. One less big name for you and I to talk about in the coming months as we try to get a sense of what NBA teams will do to adjust and make their move. That was an interesting occurrence. All right. Coming up next here, Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Injuries, rumblings, coaches, hot seats, game tonight. We got it all for you. JLC breaks it down. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Save a little money here. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Week 7 already. So there's a pretty good chance if your team ain't good, they're not going to be good anytime soon. Now, that doesn't mean if you're looking pretty good that you can't fall. We've seen that happen. But it's more rare where a team just looks almost inept to start the season, and then suddenly week 7 or 8, they turn things on, they change things schematically, and they rip off 5 wins in a row. That usually doesn't happen. So the season is beginning to define itself, and to help us define it a little further, the great Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. You see him on the NFL Today. Must follow on Twitter, CBSSports.com, and, of course, a constant contributor to Tops. What up, Jay? How you doing today?
What's going on, guys?
We're good. Level of concern, I know he's playing, but within the organizational walls, level of concern for Mahomes' ankle is?
I don't know that they're super concerned about that. I mean, tonight is a tough ask, short week after aggravating it on Sunday. But even with that, you know, what he's been going through, and he has seemed tethered to the pocket, there's been no doubt that at parts of these games, he hasn't been able to do everything Patrick Mahomes would normally do. But on the grand scheme of things concerning them right now, they've got, you know, the best quarterback on the planet. And even if he's gotten it out not quite 100%, he's not the problem. The problem is the offensive line. The problem is the defensive line and the linebackers and the secondary. Other than that, nothing to see here. They can't give up 7 yards of carry. They can't let the other team hold the ball 34 minutes a game, as it's going on for the last month. And they've got to find a way to get off to a lead, because if teams are allowed to dictate tempo and teams are allowed to stick with the run against them because the score benefits them by doing so, then they're in a lot of trouble. Yeah. This game is going to be tough. I really like Denver in this spot. I got to be honest with you.
Wow.
And then they've got the Vikings and the Packers coming up, who we know can play defense too. So I think it might get a little rough for the Chiefs before it eventually maybe gets better.
No, that's interesting. Another couple of injuries. The New York Giants are taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Saquon Barkley looks like he's practicing. Evan Ingram the same. Are we going to see them back on the field? Because, you know, as crazy as it sounds, the Giants at 2-4, if they find a way to beat Arizona, one of the two teams above them is obviously going to lose, the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to be sitting kind of tied in second place. Where's Saquon and Evan right now?
Yeah, you're right. That's another division where I don't think anybody runs away and hides. I think barring a setback, they both probably go. They feel good about where they are right now. They're both itching to get back out there. And the medical team feels good about them. So tomorrow, as you know, is more of a walkthrough day, pretty light.
Yep.
So they're on track to play. I'll put it to you that way.
Hey, Jason, you know, obviously Dallas is just going in the wrong direction. That's why you say it's kind of nobody's going to run away with this. Even the Eagles, just when you start to really believe in them, like we did when they crushed the Packers a couple of Thursdays ago, they go out and they just looked like a JV team against the Vikes this past weekend. So nobody's going to run away. I agree with you. But Dallas is really banged up at the receiver spot. Cooper's banged up. Gallup's been banged up. Cobb is banged up. You know, we talk about trades. Are they motivated to make something happen here?
Well, they got issues on defense, too.
I know.
The good news for them is it looks like the offensive line will be healthier than it's been in a while. The Amari Cooper thing, I don't believe he plays this week, but I don't expect that to be something that we're still talking about 2 weeks from now. But look, Jerry showed you last year what he thinks of his team, and he thinks this team is better than that team. And last year he was willing to go out and trade that one for Amari Cooper. So, yes, I think they're certainly on the prowl for key positions where, you know, they could be helped. I mean, I think tight end would be another one. A move tight end like a Tyler Eifert or somebody. You know, I mean, Witten, we know how dependable he is, but he's not running away from me at this stage of his career. So they're looking. The interesting thing there is, you know, Denver was going to be a big seller with Emmanuel Sanders at 0-4. If they win tonight, I got news for you. Elway's not trading those guys.
Yeah.
You know, the Bengals, will they wake up and realize that they're going to go 0-16 with or without some of these guys or close to it? And you might as well save some money and reposition yourself for the future because, you know, you need all the draft capital you can get. Maybe, you know, I'm not going to rule it out.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Jason Lockenford, Jason, CBS Sports NFL insider with us here every Thursday on Tiki and Tierney.
All right, the Los Angeles Rams trade for Jalen Ramsey. It doesn't feel like it's helping him right away. He's a cover corner. He can maybe shut down one half of the field, but that hasn't been their biggest issue. The biggest issue has been Todd Gurley. Are they done trying to improve this team? Because it seems like Les Snead every year is sacrificing the future. No draft picks, first-round draft picks for the last three and not now for the next two. How motivated are they to continue to try to improve this year?
Well, the problem is you start running out of, you know, and they can get creative, and there could be some more player-for-player stuff that they do, or, you know, a player plus a late pick. But the reality is their twos are now ones, and, I mean, you can't go into too many drafts if you're, you know what I mean, starting to pick at round three or starting to pick at day three of the draft. So I don't know how much more leverage they have in that regard. They know they're not the complete entity right now. They know they've got to find a replacement at left tackle. They know they're going to need probably at least one pass rusher, and I don't think Fowler's going to be back there either. They probably need at least two pass rushers. You know, and then even with Jalen Ramsey there, Talib's towards the end, they need help in the secondary. I get the Ramsey deal to allow Wade Phillips to be more creative and more aggressive in how he attacks teams because they don't have natural pass rushers. But I don't think it's going to help him run the football. I don't think it's going to improve the offensive line. I understand the trade. I applaud them for being aggressive and proactive. I do worry it's a little misguided.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Listen, they weren't going to win the Super Bowl before the trade. They're not going to win it now. You know what's amazing? I don't know if you uncovered this during your research as you really got deep in the weeds. Maybe you didn't. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But I'm curious if you know the answer to this. When they drafted Goff first overall in 2016, obviously they've made a slew of moves since, including the one we just talked about. So 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021, no first-round picks for the Rams, five straight years. Has that ever happened before?
I believe it has. I believe there have been teams that have gone through that recently or somewhat recently, and I thought I read maybe even the Eagles or some successful teams. There certainly have been teams that have traded, good teams that have traded out of the first round multiple times, but, you know, we're talking picks at the end of the first round, and right now we don't know where these picks are going to be for the Rams. I still have real reservations about them reaching the playoffs, which means these picks are going to be, you know, fairly high. And look, no one cares, right, if you win it all, but that's a big if.
And they've got a lot of holes to fill, which is my ultimate point. Cam Newton, you know, this is going to – you could keep kicking this down the road a little more and a little more. Kyle Allen's winning, mm-hmm. and Cam's not quite ready yet. But when those two things converge and he is ready, and if they're still winning, what do they do?
Well, you said it. They're putting this off as long as they can. And I reported last weekend that it was highly unlikely Cam would play the first game out of the bye. They're on the bye this week against San Francisco. I'm hearing that. I'm also hearing it's probably maybe another week after that. But by week 10, they're going to have a football decision to make. And there's not a guarantee that that's Cam Newton. You know, where is Kyle Allen then, health-wise and production-wise and all of that? They've got a luxury here that's been afforded to them by how well Allen and the team has played. But you're right. At some point, this is coming to a head, and they don't want to even talk about it internally until they have to. But at some point, you're going to have to.
I mean, I think it's almost irresponsible not to talk about it internally. Are you kidding me? They have to have a plan.
Well, I think the plan is who's our best quarterback at that moment.
That's a good plan. I like that plan.
They only have one quarterback.
You think he has value elsewhere? They're not going to. They wouldn't trade him, would they?
No. I mean, look, we'll see where this thing, what this thing looks like in January, February, March. But no, there's no way he's dealt for the deadline.
It's interesting.
Did you put your picks up yet here for this week? I'm looking on CBSSports.com. I don't see them yet.
Up for Friday, but I do really like Denver tonight. I think Denver can win this game outright.
Really?
I think Vic Fangio will be content to win 9-6. He doesn't care about style points. They don't care about showcasing Flacco. I think Philip Lindsay, if he touches the ball 25 times, the Denver Broncos win this game straight up.
So he's talking. He's basically saying, "Take the money line."
Yeah,
if you're listening to him.
Sounds what like.
All right, Jason Lockenfor is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Jay. One of the, I guess, opposite direction games this weekend is the San Francisco 49ers. John Lynch, his plan is starting to come together. Defense is playing phenomenally. Offensively, they just want to run the ball. They play the Washington Redskins, and you know Bill Callahan, the interim head coach, had talked about Dwayne Haskins and the fact he wasn't going to start, he wasn't ready to start. But now you start to hear things that there's progress that he's starting to make. Is there a plan with Dwayne Haskins in Washington?
No, they don't have a date circled or anything like that. I mean, will he gradually get more reps in practice? Yeah, but they're obviously not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, but shouldn't
and
he just play then?
They don't have a left tackle right now. The offensive line's at distress. And as much as Callahan wants to run the ball, you know, Adrian Peterson is not anything close to what he was in his prime, and he doesn't have cogs around him that you have to respect. So they know that to put Haskins in this situation, there's not much to be gained. But look, at some point, as we get into the holiday season, are they going to have, you know, just give the play him whatever it ends up being, 3 games, 4 games, 6 games? He will get on the field, but they're not in any rush to do it. And again, I don't know what's to be gained by not doing it. I do think, though, I haven't made my best bets yet, but San Francisco, I don't care if they're giving up 16, and they're not. They're 20. I think that is a Kyle Shanahan, hey, owner, Dan, watch this for 3 hours while I disgrace your football team. Like, he will be out for blood. Kyle will be out for blood.
Yeah, there is history. There is history.
Lay the points. Lay them.
9.5, by the way.
Lay them. Hey, Jay, real quick on the pretty interesting CBS game as we go to Lambeau. And the Raiders coming off the bye. Last we saw the Raiders, they were in London. They pushed around the Bears, which surprised. They didn't have Tyrell Williams that game. I know that their tight end, Waller, just got the extension. Do we need to start taking the Raiders seriously in terms of wild card stuff?
What about the division? I mean, I just talked about Kansas City. Huh? I mean, if Kansas City loses tonight, I very much believe the Oakland Raiders will be in first place in that division as we get to Monday. I think Green Bay just played a really physical game against the division opponent. They survived under sort of strange circumstances and everything going their way, which has been the story of their season. But Oakland coming off a bye with a team that seems really bought into John Gruden and a team that is balanced offensively, and the defense isn't great, but I think they're content to win ugly offensively and try to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. I think Oakland is a dangerous call here for Green Bay. I really do.
These best bets and these picks from Lock and Four are going to be great.
I am not willing to declare that as a definitive best bet, which I write that column on Friday afternoon.
Yep.
But San Francisco absolutely positively collectively will be a best.
You could tell
all
the
right.
times are changing. Times are changing. Hey, JLC, last one before we let you go. The penalty situation has become, it feels like it's out of hand, right? 15, 125 yards on average per game. Is there any directive that'll come down? I mean, the Detroit game was a disgrace, obviously, how it ended against the Green Bay Packers. But are they talking? Are they saying anything?
Internally, yes. The league knows that this is not optimal, and they've been quietly soliciting different opinions. I've been reporting for a while now that they are very serious about trying to bring Dean Blandino back to take over the replay side of things, to train people in the replay side of things, and to be the voice, the explaining voice of replay. But they also know that the on-field product needs better development, cultivation. Are they even identifying the best college officials right now? You know what I mean? To eventually move up the ranks. There's things to quibble with across the board, and I am getting the sense that the owners are now at a point where, even though the officiating department is a sunk cost, right, there's no revenue there. Nobody's buying Hockley jerseys.
Yeah.
There's no money to be made there, that they realize that there needs to be more of an investment, resources in human capital and in financial capital into trying to address this, you know, more holistically than what's going on now. And they need to train, they need to work with these officials more. They need to train these officials more. They need to identify scout officials in a different, better manner. And then, they, you know, the replay thing is obviously ever-changing. So I don't think we'll see anything until, you know, the spring meetings when this stuff usually happens. But I don't think the PI rule is going to stay the same for sure. You know, replay, I think that absolutely will be a one-year experiment. And we'll see what kind of restructurings come to the officiating department. I think there'll be several.
That's a lot to unpack, a lot looking forward with the intel. Jay, I'll see you on Sunday morning. Great job, really. Thank you.
Look forward to it, guys. Enjoy the games. Thank you.
Be good.
No doubt, buddy. Jason Lockenfour. All right, hit you with a lot there. We can react to that. We'll get Axe update. Moving closer to first pitch, ALCS. A little inside of 3 hours. Yanks and the Astros. Obviously, it's going to be windy, and Axe got all the updates on that. We've got the blast coming up as well. Boy, he likes the Broncos.
Mm.
He likes the Broncos. I don't know. I mean, how do you bet against Mahomes tonight?
I don't know.
I'm not saying the Broncos can't win. How do you bet against Mahomes tonight?
It's in Denver.
And bet for Flacco,
it's in Denver.
Basically.
I know.
I haven't lost there since 2014, I think.
Short rest. I got to get used to that, you know.
You try to convince me? Because you might be able
to. I am.
Bad ankle
for Mahomes. Bad O-line.
What's the number?
Broncos are hot.
What's
they've won three and a half. Broncos have won two in a row.
Good running game.
Keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. Might have to reevaluate this one.
Kansas City is on the plains, man. Going to the plains, to the mountain, to the mile high.
That's right.
There is an effect.
His lungs going to be feeling different.
There is an effect.
All right. Axe update is right now. The blast is after that. Here's Rich.
All right. Tiki and Tierney. By the way, if you miss any of our shows, any segments, anything that you certainly want to, maybe you want to hear it again, whatever, just go and check out our podcast, radio.com. That's one way to find it. Radio.com is obviously one-stop shop, and the app for radio.com, plus cbssportsradio.com, iTunes, or really anywhere where you can get your podcast. Download, subscribe for free today, and keep up with Tiki and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio here, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Good show today. We had a lot. I mean, there's some interviews you're going to want to go and get back with. With Phil Simms was great, really great on all the young quarterbacks, and obviously focused on Mahomes and where they are as an offense. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach over at App State, 5-0, ranked for the second time in their program history. He was enlightening and enlightened thanks to you.
Yeah, you're right.
The Cadillac commercial
about opportunities.
I think I asked you this once, but how many did you get a Cadillac? I know you got paid for the commercial.
Yeah.
You got a Cadillac as well, right?
I got both, yeah.
You get one caddy or two?
Just one.
Just one, the black one?
I drove it for a long time.
You
too.
Did?
I loved it.
Is that what you
great.
Drove to, like, to game day?
Yeah.
On game day?
It's what I...
That was
my
your car.
It was my car.
Well, you had the sports car. You had the...
The Maserati.
Yeah,
but
Maserati.
I never rode it. BT, I bought that thing in 2002. It has less than 12,000 miles
on
it.
That's amazing. We talked about that a few times. AJ's waiting to get his hands on it.
Yeah, right?
He will.
It's sitting in my driveway.
You got to refurbish it. It's all out of whack,
right? That's right. It's been sitting in my driveway for at least 5 years, not moved. We moved to Jersey, obviously, where we are into our house now. Car parked once. I had to move it to the other side. And it sat there for 5 years.
Why don't you drive it?
I don't know.
I'll drive it for you.
It's a hard ride because of the wheel. It's low-profile tires.
Yeah.
And the potholes in New Jersey
are
ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you get like a little pebble pothole.
That's true.
And it's like, I got a bubble on my tire
That's
now.
That's fair. That's
I got to replace it. It became such a pain in the ass.
I got you. I don't think the potholes are as bad as they were. Like,
they're
about
not.
3, 4, 5 years, it was
they're
an
not.
Epidemic.
Absolutely.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, it felt like every time I hit one, the bottom of my car was, because it's low car too.
Yeah.
The bottom of my car was scraping. I'm like, what am I? I'm destroying this thing.
Yeah.
I'd just rather just sit it.
What's the fastest you ever cranked it up to before you get to the blast?
I got out to 180. I went
180.
I mean, on 80, I got up to about 120.
See, at this 80. Point, I would be scared to. I, you know, I crashed.
In, well, you know, 80. 80 straight
80
and
well.
Flat. Once you get out past, like, civilization, basically.
Yeah.
When you get, you know.
Yeah, but still not the Autobahn. I mean, there's still.
True.
I mean, there's still.
I got up to about 120.
Yeah. I would be terrified.
It was great.
That car actually
handles so amazing.
Me into, no need to go fast anymore. A tap above 80. Might sniff 90, if it, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to dial it down. It's no fun driving fast. Back in the day, used to be fun driving fast.
I got a
need with kids and a wife.
Speed.
Yeah, exactly. Not that important all of a sudden with a family. All right, ready for the blast, Teak?
Yep, let's get it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Teaky and Tierney.
All right, so the Dolphins may be stripping down further. They're exploring trades for Kenyon Drake. Can he be a legit lead back?
Yeah, I mean, of course he can, but it's just also got to be about the right system. And what does a lead back even mean anymore?
There's very
few guys like Christian McCaffrey that are going to see 90% of the touches in a non-traditional, meaning not the 93-touch role. Can he be a lead? Of course he can. Just a matter of being in the right system.
I agree. I mean, if you're asking me, can he, you know, can run it, you know, 15, 16, 17 times on a Sunday and average a tick over 4 yards a pop?
Yeah,
there's a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Can he catch a couple of swings and make you miss?
Yep.
Sure. Is he an offense changer? No, but I'd like to see him with some more weaponry around him
and
maybe a more creative set. He's talented, but I don't know that he tilts at that. Yeah, you know what? The Chiefs could use him tonight.
Right.
The Chiefs could use him
there
tonight.
There are teams that could use
him. It's true.
Good running backs. You're right.
Yeah. Buddy Hield, how about this? Buddy Hield rips the Kings for an insulting contract negotiation.
I hate the NBA.
Four years.
I really hate the NBA.
You should. You played the wrong sport. 4 years, $90 million offer. It's insulting.
If they don't get in, and after that, me and my team gonna look somewhere else and look for probably another home. But until then, we'll see if they really see us for having me here. That's the goal, to be here. You know, I love Sacramento, but if they don't want me here, they don't feel that I'm the part of the core. You know, I like respect and loyalty, and I feel like I'm part of the group that's getting the team back where it needs to be. So, you know, like I said, I want to be here, and they don't want me here. Find somewhere to be else again.
And what the hell does he expect?
No idea.
4 years, 90. First of all, he's 2 years older than we thought he was.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
That's right.
I like Buddy Hield.
You're averaging 16 points a game. You're not averaging 25 or 30 points a game.
But he is a big-time weapon for me.
He is a big-time weapon.
Free this year. He can shoot.
But $22 million a year?
That's a lot. I mean, by the way, I'm actually okay with the 4 years 90. What I'm not okay with is him saying it's not enough. So, I mean, why would I be mad? But not that I don't think the Kings should attach a lot more to it. If he signed 4 years 90, I would understand it based on his calling card, which is shooting.
Yep.
You can't go much more above 90 for him for the skill set.
No, not at all.
I mean, I wouldn't. All right. The House and Senate lawmakers want to pass federal laws allowing college athletes to get paid for likeness. We know about this. Would a federal law be good or bad for the NCAA as more states start passing laws?
I don't think. I think this is going to be a state's rights thing. I don't know if it's going to be a federal.
Mm-hmm.
If it should get into the federal realm yet. It's interesting though, this is why the NCAA feels threatened, because if one state is different than another state,
yep.
Then there's just a competitive disadvantage.
100%. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But I don't see how the federal government can. You know what I mean?
You got to leave this up to the state.
I agree.
Like gambling, like medicinal marijuana, like dispensaries.
It is what it is. And if the states lose out on elite college football, basketball talent, that's on the state.
And then the state might have to recalibrate and become motivated to change it because they're actually seeing a drop in their bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
More government is not always the best way to handle
it. I agree, for sure.
Especially private enterprise.
Yeah. I think each state should have the ability to assess what they want to do and then reassess if it doesn't work out for them. But it's definitely a competitive disadvantage. I totally agree. Yeah, the government can't step in and make this a unanimous 50-state thing. I would not like that at all. This I kind of like because it has a little juice of the golf season. Brooks Koepka, who we've had on the show here at Tiki and Tierney, Brooks throwing a little shade at Rory. He said, listen to what he said. Quote, I've been out here for what, 5 years? Rory hasn't won a major since I've been on the tour. Wow. I don't view it as a rivalry. End quote.
Wow.
Is it a rivalry? Is it a rivalry in the conventional sense? No. I mean, anytime you have to manufacture something, it's not a rivalry. The emotion should be real. It should be palpable, not contrived here. And listen, Brooks Koepka is great for the game. Rory's great for the game. He's when he's banging a 360 off the tee, might be the best pure driver in the game. But what Brooks Koepka has done, multiple U.S. Opens, multiple PGA Championships, he's running circles around Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, he is. But Rory, interestingly, for whatever reason, won Player of the Year in 2019.
Yeah, I never understand how they do. There's been some inconsistencies
To you, just to this discussion?
Yeah.
I think they did that to create a rivalry. I mean, seriously.
Perceptually. Hey, we got the Player of the Year.
Yeah, we've got the Player of the Year versus the guy that wins only majors. And Brooks Koepka, the best player is easily, and the moneyless guy is Brooks Koepka. Although Rory, because he won the FedEx Cup,
got the 10 mil right there. Cool.
But,
10.
I mean,
give it to Buddy Hield.
It's still Brooks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easily Brooks.
This quote, though, I've been out here for, what, 5 years? Rory hasn't won a major since I've been on tour, so I don't think it's a rivalry. End quote. Nothing to translate there. Moving on. I know what Brooks thinks.
Yeah, he's upset he didn't win Player of the Year.
I love it. What does this say? Oh, yeah, this is horrendous. Patrick Day dies after the injury suffered at the fight with Conwell this weekend. The fourth boxer to die from a fight in 2019. That's most ever in a single year, by the way. Is there something boxing can do, or is it just the nature of the sport?
Yeah, you gotta retrain refs. And maybe this is maybe you take a page from the MMA and UFC and Bellator. Those refs are on, like when they see head trauma, they're on it immediately.
Yeah,
boxing refs tend to let it go, and that's not okay. I mean, you can't have four guys in a year who already died.
That's horrendous. And the year's got more time to go. A couple of more months here, still in 2019. He hit his head, right? It wasn't actually the. He hit his head because he was knocked out.
True,
but and in the MMA, there's also the threat of jumping on somebody. And then viciously kicking it. So they're quicker to intercede.
That's right.
Maybe it's a training aspect. Maybe it's just different training techniques, which are making the punches more potent. Maybe it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, look, I know
it's incredibly sad.
Yeah, you're right. He did. When he fell, he hit his head. That's obviously where the ultimate blow. But you don't die from a single blow. It was repeated micro concussions or whatever you want to call it and that led to him being susceptible for when he hit his head. So I think there's got to be better training and maybe shortening of fights. You can't have these epic bouts where these guys are exhausted and not able to defend themselves once they get to the latter rounds and just more susceptible to damage throughout your life, man.
I almost feel guilty saying this. The best fights are when they're staggering to the middle of the ring. We know this.
Oh, of course.
Round 9, round 10, knees wobbling.
Oh, the thrill of Manila. That's what it was.
Yep. They got to change something. That's terribly tragic, no doubt.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I think I may convince myself to go with the Broncos tonight.
I can't do it. not that I'm putting money on it, but you know what I mean.
I
couldn't do it.
You'd be surprised. So we come in here tomorrow for Football Friday. You'd be stunned or mildly surprised if the Broncos win?
Mildly surprised.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Chiefs are sliding, man.
Yeah, so you can't use that word stunned is out the window for right now.
Mainly because Pat Mahomes doesn't look like Pat Mahomes the last couple of weeks.
He does not.
Even though he did in that last quarter against the Detroit Lions, he was amazing getting them in the scoring position. But, yeah, the last couple of weeks have been, I don't know.
There's a big sports night, and it could be a very, very tough one. I'm going to be going back and forth, boom, boom, boom. I'll watch more of the Yankees tonight for sure than I will this football game. But, you know, listen. Tanaka only threw 68 pitches in game one, and they pulled them. They won 7-0. I think both teams hit. I think I was telling Mike or DC before the show, it was one of them. 7-5, 8-4. I think there's going to be some offense tonight. That wind is going to be
right
crazy. We'll talk about it. We'll watch it, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Thursday night. Peace. Got to go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.